When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Oh, hey, 239 with 8 home runs and 30 runs batted in. Well hit fly ball deep to right field. Forget it, it's going to go. There it goes. Home run.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
McMonagle here with you. Our last hour of a five-hour midnight ride, as we'll take you to the warm-up show.
I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning. How's everybody doing on this Thursday morning? I'm doing fine. DJ LeMay, you got six RBIs. That's right, you heard me. DJ LeMay, you got six RBIs, a grand slam home run. That needed replay to reassure us all. Yeah, yes, I mean, we couldn't believe it. I'm pretty sure they just wanted to watch it again because they couldn't believe that DJ LeMay hit a grand slam, but he did. And the Yankees and Nestor Cortez and the bullpen held on for dear life. DJ LeMay added another double to add two more. And the Yankees hold on. Clay Holmes comes in and gets the save. That's right, he did. He didn't blow this one. Although it came close, there were a couple in the seventh as well. Leiter gave up a long... Canley gave up a long fly ball to Hayes that Verdugo just made a catch right at the wall, right at the foul pole. It looked like a three-run home run that was going to give him the lead. And then, of course, in the ninth as well, Hayes, formerly of the Orioles, who know these Yankee pitchers oh so well, almost took one out as well, but they didn't. He gets the ground ball from obviously the slumping Bryce Harper, who didn't get a hit in the series, was 0 for 14 in the series. Hits into the double play. Clay Holmes gets out of there. And this Yankee team has now won. If you would have told me on Friday night, after the absolute gut punch that was, and the miserable morning it gave me on that Saturday morning, because I was exhausted on Friday, I worked the overnight. I did afternoon with Sean, and then I went home and I was just exhausted, and I passed out, and I watched the game in the morning, and it ruined my Saturday. That Friday night disaster, the blowing of that game, they had the lead, Judge hits the home runs, they score seven runs after just, we forget, they got their ass kicked by the Mets. The Yankees are dead, and the Mets killed them, remember? And then they lose that game Friday night. It's over. I mean, you're waiting for the deadline, but they're dead team walking until Stanton comes back, until the deadline, everything. And then they announce the Jazz Chisholm trade, and something happened. And every once in a while, these special things happen. And Saturday, they were just a relentless offensive team. Grisham comes through with the knock off the wall with two strikes left in the top of the ninth, and away they go. And then they come into Philadelphia. Now, a struggling team, a team that's been the best team in baseball all year long, but a team that's now lost five consecutive series, and they sweep them with Wheeler and Nola on the mound. And they knock around Wheeler. When's the last time the Yankees went in anywhere and knocked around an ace? DJ LeMahieu knocks in six. The last two games, they scored 13 runs without any of them having to do with Soto or Judge. And obviously the home run heroics from Chaz Chisholm, who's come in and played an excellent third base. I mean, it's just the team feels different. It's changed. Verdugo's hitting. Volpe's hitting. Torres has been hitting. You got guys who should be hitting it at the bottom of the lineup but not lead off, like Ben Rice finally back there. And it just feels like right now they still have the most runs in Major League Baseball. They have the best run differential in Major League Baseball. And right now nobody has more wins than the New York Yankees. 65. Cleveland has 65. Philadelphia has 65. Baltimore has 65. No one in all of baseball has more wins than the New York Yankees, and they were as bad as the White Sox for 2 months. And all of that goes away. This is the team now. They've added to the bullpen. They added Jazz Chisholm. And away they go. And the Mets take another series. They do lose the final game against Minnesota. And a couple of talking points come from it. And one, the offense has really been, despite a couple of big-time games, scoring a ton of runs against the Yankees and the second game against the Yankees and embarrassing them for the final of the four-game sweep. And then the first game of this Minnesota series where they scored 15 runs. Other than that, this offense really hasn't done much since the All-Star break. And guys like Nimmo and Lindor have cooled off a little bit. Certainly Nimmo has cooled off a lot. But that's why I thought adding to this team was so important, because I do believe in them, but you can't expect this offense that's been carrying them to continue to perform at the kind of level it was. Now, you've still seen long opposite field home runs from Vientos, who's been incredible here. And I still believe in the long nature of this offense and the Baters of the world having career years and Iglesias, and you're still waiting for Marte to come back, and hopefully that's within, you know, a week or so. But and McNeil's gotten hot here. So I still like the offense. I still believe in it. That's why I wanted to add to it, because you couldn't expect it to continue. You couldn't expect to win at that kind of clip based strictly on your offense while your, you know, bullpen has gotten a little bit better with Budo and Diaz has kind of found himself. But this offense wasn't going to carry the team at that level for this long. That's why you needed to improve. And we'll see if Blackburn is going to pitch tonight for the Friday night, their first game of the road trip as they head out west for a long 10-game road trip. That's going to go a long way to decide what they're going to be here, as the Diamondbacks and the Padres have just been on fire. And the Mets find themselves a half a game out with an offense that's been a little bit inconsistent, although still pretty damn good, and I believe in, and a rotation that, you know, you got the great start from Anaya. It's been overall solid, but now Luis Severino gives you a bad performance, and it makes you wonder about the innings that he's been throwing. I mean, if you look at I just said this before, Luis Gil, he's the guy we talk about. Oh, he's barely thrown. Oh, he's going to have to go to the bullpen. Oh, the innings. Well, Luis Severino has hardly thrown since 2018. 12 innings here, 6 innings there, 80 innings here. Like, he has gone nowhere near where he would project to go if he continues to pitch this year. He's already had more innings than any year since 2018. Already he's made more starts than any year since 2018. So this Met team right now is going to find themselves in a fight. At the end of the month, they have back-to-back. I think there's actually a series in between, but they'll have a road trip that will include a 4-game set against San Diego and a 3-game set against Arizona, who right now seem like the other two teams, along with Atlanta, as the two teams battling right now with the Mets for that final 2 wild card spots. So it'll be a fun baseball season finish. Both teams right in the mix. I do believe the Yankees are as good as anyone in the American League, and the Mets are right there battling for a playoff spot. That would make their season ultimately a massive success. They've held on to their prospects. They've done a great job winning. And if they play any playoff games, it's a massive success. And we are right there. As the football season starts with the Hall of Fame game, Daniel Jones can't complete a pass. Aaron Rodgers yelling at everybody. We got a lot going on. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Ray and Edison. What's up, Ray?
Hey, McMonagle. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very much for making it.
Hey, no problem. You kind of made a point that I was wanting to make about how, you know, as Yankee fans, we know the feeling of a good team when we see one.
Yeah.
And when we're winning games and Judge is taking a golden sombrero, that is the feeling that, you know,
it's a feeling we
survive.
No
we're
doubt.
We survived this problem that we've been having of losing too many games.
No doubt.
You know, And another point I wanted to make, and I wanted to ask you to elaborate on yourself. Do you feel like, Boone, without, you know, with all the winning that he does?
Yes.
We seem to continue this thing that just feels like it's the same deja vu all over again. It's like we're good. Then we have this lull in the middle of the season where we just disappear, and then we struggle to the finish line, we get there, and it seems like we're burnt or something, and we get to the playoffs and we do absolutely nothing. Do you think that we're going to need a new voice
No.
if this happens again? I'm going to listen to your response. I really appreciate you.
You got it. Well, one, I think that the idea that that was this year and 2022. It's not been every year of Aaron Boone's career. And certainly, and then, you know, last year, they were 10 games over and then Judge went down. I mean, there was a line of demarcation. There was, you know, there was no real reason in 2022. They just stopped playing well. There was really no reason. I know Stanton went down a little bit, but, like, those were two inexplicable. I mean, 2022, they had the record comparable to the 98 Yankees. This year, they were the best team in the American League. And then out of nowhere, it just fell apart. Last year, they were okay. They were 10 games over 500, and then Judge went down. And there's a line of demarcation of where the winning stopped. So I don't lump that in. There's 2 years that had this formula. People act like it's every year under Aaron Boone. It's not. It's 2 years. Having said that, we have seen elongated stretches of not just poor, but hideous baseball under Aaron Boone. We've seen long stretches of not just good, but fantastic baseball under Aaron Boone. If they, like any other manager who's not under contract for the next season, if they miss the playoffs, which I can't imagine happening, but if they do, then yeah, of course. I mean, but do they need a new voice? I don't believe so. I know many people do. I don't. I think Aaron Boone is a fine manager. I honestly believe that. He's not Miller Huggins. He's not the greatest thing ever. I don't think he's the reason for the great start, nor do I think he is the reason for the failures. But going through the stretch, it seems to take this team far too long to snap out of it. And you want to put that on him? Fine. And is there some sort of laissez-faire kind of attitude about, hey, we're the Yankees, we'll be fine, that has been built into this team that's probably overdone and probably leads to some of the prolonged slumping? I'm open to that, sure. But I don't think they need a new voice. But of course, there's a level of success that he has to reach, otherwise he's going to not get a new contract. And rightfully so. But I think it's dramatically overblown. A lot of the stuff. We don't like them because they're losing. Brian Cashman said it today in the interview with BT. Everything, like, when BT brought up the aggressiveness, the urgency of this owner, and how he feels it this year more than he has in previous years, or if asking Brian if he's felt it this year more than other years because of the Juan Soto trade and other things. And he's like, no, he's always. And again, you know, shocking. I think Brian Cashman made an accurate statement. They haven't won since 2009. So every year it gets built up. That's it. If one of these years had a World Series, we wouldn't feel this way about the Yankees. They haven't won. If 2019, they actually won that series and went on to win the World Series and beat Washington, we wouldn't have this same feeling of, oh my God, they don't care. That team was good enough to do it. They just didn't. So it gets built up every year that the idea of, oh my God, it's the same thing. Like, I am not pleased with Boone right now. I'm not pleased with anyone on this team necessarily with the way they played in the last 2 months. But no, I don't think they need a new voice. They might get one. If they lose in the wild card round, they might get one. And rightfully so. But right now, I don't think he's as anywhere near the issue for this team. I don't. Ken in Linden. What's up, Ken?
Hello. Hello. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hello. Hold on.
No, yeah, sure. No, of course. Please, take your time. We good?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you? Everything all right over there?
No, I had you on speaker. Ah. Listen, I have the answer on why your jaw hurts.
Oh, thank you. What's the answer? I'm more looking for the answer of how to stop it hurting, but I'm open to getting to the bottom of it. Go ahead, yes.
I'm a senior citizen, and I've been watching sports for 50 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm a recovering alcoholic. I haven't had a drink in 13 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you. I have, very, very quickly, mm-hmm. can I just tell you why Saquon had to go?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you can just forget all about me and my troubles, but go ahead.
No. He was angry about his contract, and he was a cancer in the I heard you talk about all the sports, and you were captain and this and that. And, I competed. I was a high school basketball star. I was all county back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And Saquon had to go because he was an angry cancer in the locker room. I also email with a couple sports writers in the Post, and mostly they agree with what I say. But anyhow, Saquon had to go. And the other thing, OG, I wouldn't have given that much money because he's injury prone, and you don't know what you're getting with OG. But anyhow, I have crappy teeth. I had perfect teeth. My parents, I had braces and went to the dentist and all that. But what I think you have is an abscess or an infected tooth. If you wash your hands and poke around with your finger at your gum line, you're going to feel a... and I've been to many dentists, and what you need is something called amoxicillin. You're going to have to see a dentist because it's not going to go away unless I'm wrong. You know, I'm not a doctor, but yeah.
You think there's a chance you're wrong diagnosing me from the phone? I don't know. I'd be more confident in that, in your skills. I don't think that's it. I think I have like a jaw issue. I think I know the difference. I just woke up with it the other day. It doesn't matter. I was just talking about it because I was talking so damn much today that I'm starting to really notice it. But thank you. And I disagree with almost everything you said, by the way. It's not just the abscess and my teeth and my need to go see a dentist that I disagree with you on. I disagree with you on that's why Saquon Barkley had to go, that he was angry and a cancer in the clubhouse. I don't think that at all. Was he disappointed at how he was being treated, or, you know, and by treated, I mean shown the money? Was he disappointed in the value that the team had for him compared to the value he believed he was? Of course. Yeah, of course he was. And, you know, so I could understand his disappointment. And they tried to give him a contract. I think they wanted him. I think they wanted him at what they deemed to be running back levels. I think Joe Shane is a product of his environment, and he believes that the running back has been a devalued position and that it's not worth paying your quarterback $40 million and paying your running back $17, $18 million. That's what he believes. And it's disappointing, but the idea that he's a cancer to the clubhouse is exactly the opposite of that, is exactly why he wasn't traded at the deadline. They believed him to be such a leader and so important to the team that they couldn't trade him away because otherwise the whole thing might fall. And even now, watch him on Hard Knocks. Watch him talk to the coaches. They went to the Penn State workout, and Saquon Barkley's talking to the coaches, asking about Giant players. I don't think for a second he was a cancer inside that clubhouse. I do think there was an element where many of the players looked at him as the best player on the team, the reason why they went to the playoffs that year, who he carried them far more than Daniel Jones, and that it was unfair that Daniel Jones got his money and Saquon didn't get his. Now, I think it's a business, and I don't think it caused a massive riff. I don't think the whole team was going around talking behind Daniel Jones's back and calling him names and putting kick me signs on his back. Like, I don't think it was that bad, but I do think that there was an element of the team that felt like, man, this is the guy who's really leading us. This is the guy who's having all the explosive plays. I forget which player it was now that said those exact words, that Saquon Barkley was responsible for like 85% of the explosive plays on the Giants, and they felt like he should have been paid first. So, I mean, there might have been a level of that, but I don't think so at all. I think him and Daniel Jones were very close. He came up with the Vanilla Vic, right, the nickname for Daniel Jones. I think they're very close. I think they're friendly. I think Saquon Barkley was nothing but an excellent Giant, an excellent character guy, an excellent team leader. And if the Giants, if he played a different position or the Giants were in a different position overall roster-wise, nothing would have made the Giants happier, nothing would have made Saquon Barkley happier, nothing would have made me, you, or any other Giant fan happier than to keep Saquon Barkley. But the fact of the matter is their roster isn't in a position to pay the quarterback the money they're already paying him and pay a running back big-time money. It just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. But I don't think he was a cancer in the clubhouse at all. Let's go to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett? Oh, hold on. I pushed the wrong button, Brett. You still... Hold on. There you go. Brett, you there?
Chris, I'm talking to myself. I'm all over Saquon. I'm glad he's gone. We offered
I'm not glad, but I certainly think they did the right thing.
We offered him $12 million midseason. He ended up getting $13 million. He held out with his agent. Okay, good for him. He got more. Business-wise, he got more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we did offer him the money, and then we tagged him, and he took it as a slight because we gave our quarterback the money. But that's, like you said, it's all business. It is what it is. Chris,
yeah.
I gotta say this. I'm going away tomorrow for my end of summer vacation for 10 days, so I won't get to speak to you.
That's fine. Well, thank you very much. I look forward to your return. But end of summer, it's August 1st.
Yeah, but by the time I come back, right, you're already in preseason, a couple of games, right? September, yeah. I don't know. I don't want to be depressing, but yeah, I know you're going away soon.
You're making
really
me feel like it's the end of the summer. It's not the end of the summer. It's just getting started, but you're right. You're right. Good. So what do you got?
But Chris, we all know about your illustrious high school career, right?
Yes.
We know everything about you. You played on the line. How important is the center position to you?
Fairly important.
Fairly. Okay.
I mean, it's important.
Right?
I mean, they're all important.
Look at Kelsey.
Is the left tackle more important? It's very important. They're all very important.
Put a tight end there next to him. You're fine, Chris. You can't put nobody. The center's got to get that ball back.
So you think the center is more important than the left tackle?
I do. Okay. I do. I think that the center could be like your quarterback, like Kelsey.
Well, I mean, you have a center.
But anyway, yeah. The
NFL doesn't pay in that regard. You do the left tackles make more money, but that's fine. You can have your opinion.
That's a really good point, actually. That's a really good point. But anyway, all right. So we agree the center is important. I didn't hear the whole show today, but you talked about how bad Daniel Jones did. That's fine. He didn't look great in training camp. That's not even an issue.
He's been really bad.
But you really didn't mention that they had Jay Kubas, a free agent, undrafted free agent that never took a snap in his life, because Schmitz is out right now still. So they don't have a true center, so they're trying guys out. So he was taking snaps, right? I'm sure you read and saw this. And getting beat up, like not doing good. Their guard was having, they were trying different combinations, right? So to me, you got to talk about the whole offense. Daboll was frustrated. He's calling plays. They don't have the right combinations. But right away, you're laughing about Daniel Jones missing a pass. How come you didn't mention what's going on, though? Like, break down the training camp. They're struggling right now, their line.
No, I understand. Okay. I understand
just,
that.
That's not an excuse. I'm telling you. Tell the whole story, though. Like, don't just laugh and say, oh, Daniel Jones missed a screen pass. You have a guy that never played center once in his life. He's trying different things right now because he doesn't have a center. And he has all the new pieces on the line, Evan Neal's out. You got Illuminati. You're doing five different combinations right now.
Yeah, no. All right. So he's trying new things, like overthrowing wide receivers in hopes that that might help the offensive line. I mean, it makes sense. I get it. No, you're right. The offensive line is so bad that he's trying new things, like wildly over and under throwing his wide receivers. This was a conversation about something Connor Hughes reported, okay? I'm not breaking down all of Giants camp, okay? We understand what's going on with the offensive line. They just signed an offensive lineman. They're dealing with combinations. They're not playing the game. Daniel Jones isn't getting hit. Daniel Jones is not getting sacked. Daniel Jones has looked bad and missed open wide receivers. I'm not even telling you, oh, wow, this is going to be a disaster. Like, I get it. It's practice. I'm not making a big deal out of it. We were talking about football. Is football starting tonight? So I thought I'd talk a little bit more. We've spent so much time on baseball. I had 5 hours tonight, so I've spent time talking on some football. I talked about the Jets, and I talked about the Giants. And right now, the story about the Giants so far is Daniel Jones coming back. It is the year of Daniel Jones, and he's missed wide receivers left and right. He's had a bad couple of days at camp. It's just getting started. I'm not killing him. But yeah, it's when I say he throws a decent deep ball, and then people show me videos of him at camp missing horrendously on deep throws, I chuckled. Sorry to hurt your sensibilities, Brett. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come back. Continue to take your phone calls till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show.
add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL on CBS game every week on Paramount Plus.
All right, 4:33. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Got some calls. Might as well get to them right here on The Fan. I got you till 5 o'clock. And the warm-up show on this Thursday morning. Yankees coming off a sweep of the Phillies. 5 games in a row, feeling good, flying high. Mets head out for a 10-game road trip after taking 2 or 3 from Minnesota. Trying to keep up with the Joneses, who are the Padres, who I just saw won the season series against the Dodgers for the first time since 2010. First time since 2010. Dodgers aren't playing that well either. 65 wins, most in baseball. New York Yankees. Joe in Huntington. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just can't believe when they said with the Jazz Chisholm, he can't, you know, it ain't the Yankee way. I don't care if he skips around the bases.
Yeah, I don't know who's. I had one caller last night who said that, yeah.
Yeah, he was the first caller.
You're right, it was the first
caller. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm with you. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Oh, my God.
How about winning? I like winning should be the Yankee way, and right now he's helping winning a lot. Yeah.
That's why I haven't called in 2 months. I've been aggravated.
I know. I don't blame you, Joe. That's the one thing. I wish I could just, you know, avoid it for 2 months. I wish I could.
I don't understand some of these people. I listen every night. It's just, I don't know. Christian, what do you think about the Jets with Reddick? Do you think they'll sign him?
Yeah, I mean, I think eventually. They traded for him. This is such an all-in year. I know he's costing himself a ton of money. Eventually, someone's going to cave. I think the Jets are going to cave. I think typically the players have the advantage in this thing, and they need him in there. They need a pad. They want to win this year. They don't want to mess around. They traded for him. They knew they were going to probably have to pay him at some point. Why not pay him now? I know they were misled and told this and told that. And that adds to the story of why I think the Jets need to win, because all of a sudden the Jets are idiots. How do you trade for this guy? I don't care what he told you. If this happened in, Bill Belichick in New England, they'd be like, wow, this guy's a real jerk. He promised Bill something, didn't do it. But with the Jets, it's like, oh, you bunch of morons. But I think they need to win and need to get him in there and try and get this season started. So I'd be surprised if they don't blink first and sign him to a contract. But we'll see. Danny in Belrose. What's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Take a plane, Life's good. So it was a decent, hard-fought game yesterday, I have to say. I'm glad they came out on top. Stan looked good.
I wanted to talk about Stanton. I was going to talk about Stanton a little bit. Honestly, I mean, he hit a ball. He hit the hardest ball he's hit all year yesterday for a base hit. Yeah. And I got to tell you, while he hasn't done any real damage yet, I think the one hit's the only hit he's got, he's looked far better. Oh, he's got 2 hits? Far better than I thought he would have coming off the break. I got to be honest. Usually he comes in and he's completely famished. He's swinging at, sliders in the dirt. He just looks awful. While, not doing anything yet, his at-bats look relatively good. I've been rather pleased with what we've seen from Stanton coming back from the IL. I got to admit, I have been.
Yeah, definitely. And I like that DJ drove in all the runs. That was 6 runs. That was the first time since DiMaggio in 48 and Yogi Berra in 58. That was pretty cool.
To drive in six and be at the only 6 of the team?
Yeah.
Really? Huh. That was, I mean, listen, that's it's one of those things. It's not so much, it's crazy that he did it. It's really nice. It's good to win a game. And especially this team that was just, what was it, a week ago, were 2 good hitters and everybody else sucks. So the idea that they won a game and won two games against Philadelphia in Philly, scoring 7 and 6 runs without Judge and Soto driving in runs is enormous. But the thing about DJ LeMahieu is, you know, it's a great game. And it's two really good swings, the best two swings of the season for him. Let's see if it continues. Now he's bought himself a stay of execution. He's going to get another couple of at-bats, which he's earned with that game. He literally won the game for them. And we'll see if it continues. But, I mean, I can't just say, oh, DJ's back. I feel, oh, now he's going to take off. I have no idea. In fact, I would lean towards that not happening. But we'll see. He's got to continue. But the reason they play him is because if he gets hot, he's a game changer and a different player. Oswaldo Cabrera getting hot is nice. DJ LeMahieu getting hot changes who the Yankees are. Dan in Lafayette, what's up, Dan?
Yo, C-Mac!
What's up, Dan?
What's going on?
We're back!
Yo, listen, DJ might not be back, but the Yankees are back!
That's right.
Let's go!
Let's go.
I want to make a friendly gentleman's bet with you. Judge is going to go 45 home runs over the next 9-game home stretch here. Let's go.
He's gonna get to 40. Wait, is he at 39? What is he? 39 right now?
Yeah, he's at 39 right now, and I feel it, man. That they're all going to go ballistic, but our boy Judge, he's going to go 45 home runs by the end of this 9-game home stretch.
Hey, listen, why do I want to make a gentleman's bet against that? I hope you're right.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's
have
go.
A good one.
All right, let's go. Yeah, Dan's pumped up. Listen, I don't blame you. It was such a disgusting display of baseball for so long that watching this team right now hit, come through in the situations, clutch situations, win a game in extra innings on the road, which they have struggled with for forever since the Manfred Man rule was put into existence, to watch them go into Philadelphia and win a series that we were all, you know, very concerned about, and to beat the likes of, you know, Nola and Wheeler and knock them around, it feels really good. And to have Jazz Chisholm come in here and be the one offensive addition they've made, and for it to feel like it's changed the whole damn team, it's been refreshing. It feels good. They're not just winning games by pitching. They're actually scoring runs. They're doing it without Judge and Soto. You're getting a bunch of little things. You're getting, you know, continued good play from Verdugo and Torres. You're able to hit guys where they belong. Rice doesn't have to hit leadoff or cleanup. He can hit eighth as what a young player should be, trying to make this team, trying to be part of this team. He should be hitting eighth. He shouldn't have to be forced to hit leadoff or cleanup or lead up if you combine the two of them, which I've been known to do. 888-808-1019. Take a quick break, one last break, and then we'll do rapid-fire style calls all the way to 5 o'clock. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:46, last few minutes before the warm-up show. And, yeah, you know, along with the Yankee offense, he's kind of gone under the radar here. He hasn't done anything. Not much talk about Stanton, really. But I have to admit, while he hasn't done anything yet, he hit the ball hard for a base hit, the hardest he's hit all year, which is amazing. But he typically does really struggle when he gets back and has awful, awful swings. And we've seen Stanton when he slumps. He can't get a read on breaking balls. And I feel like he tried to really be patient, because I remember his first couple of bats, he took a couple strikes down the middle. I mean, he's only played 2 games, but the at-bats look pretty good. I think he's, you know, easing into things, but I haven't seen any flailing. I haven't seen any really bad timing. That's a positive thing for the Yankees. If he could really get going quickly and not need a month, because that's... it's how it feels, how long it takes. And honestly, being gone, only missing 28 games with a hamstring issue was rather quick for him, believe it or not. So see if he can be a part of this offense moving forward, which would be another enormous change for this team. I mean, right now, again, if this, you know, they need to continue to hit like this, but the pitching is an issue, and, you know, Clay Holmes is a talking point and an issue. I just don't think it's as big one. Like, he gets beat the other day. He got beat with soft BS contact, and it's not just me. Now, I know you think, you know, the Yankee broadcast, it's not just Michael Kay. Joe Girardi saying the same thing. Like, the reason he has the most blown saves is because he gets beat by nonsense. He's had awful luck, and he has the occasional legitimate blown save. He had one where they fell down in the outfield. They literally fell down. That's not on him. And the soft contact's on him. It's his style of pitching. It's absolutely on him, but it's just it's bad luck. And then you mix in a couple of games where he legitimately blows saves when they're not falling down or hitting, you know, 40-mile-an-hour rollers up the third baseline to beat you. You mix all of them in, you get the most blown saves. But he's been one of the better relievers in baseball since he's been a Yankee. And I understand the swing and miss argument. I don't want to bring up Mariano Rivera again, but just trust me. You don't need swing and miss to be a closer. You don't need it. But if you're going to be a sinker baller, you better have a good defense behind you. And that's the main problem with Clay Holmes. Because right now they got Jazz Chisholm, who's looked very good at third, but I don't. He's not a third baseman. You've got Gleyber Torres, who leads the world in errors at second base, and Ben Rice, who needs to be replaced by DJ LeMahieu late in game. So the infield defense isn't very good for someone who needs to be putting the play, balls in the play either. Dave in Watertown. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, hey, McGonagall. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on? Close enough. How are you, pal?
Oh, not too bad. Hey, listen, I'm kind of concerned about you, buddy.
Yeah, don't be. I'm good.
Well, listen, I want to let you know that I'm a Yankee fan. Been a Yankee fan for a long time.
Yep.
I'm 57 years old, and I've been a Yankee fan since I was 10. So I kind of feel like your older brother, and I wanted to let you know that your jaw problem there could be something to be concerned about. 10 or 11 years ago, I had a problem with my jaw, and I went to the doctor because it kept bugging me.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor says, hey, buddy, go do me a favor, just humor me, and go take an EKG.
Yeah.
And I said, an EKG, I got a problem with my jaw.
Right.
What's that got to do with an EKG? He goes, just humor me.
What's love got to do with it? No,
turned out I had a blockage, 90% blockage.
Wow.
In my heart, and had to have a stent.
Yeah.
And they caught it before I had a heart attack.
Good.
I was real close to having a heart attack.
Listen.
I
understand. No, well,
don't let that pain in your jaw go.
No, okay, I got you. Well, here, let me clear this up so you feel better that I'm your little brother. I want to be honest with you. Thank you for the call and thank you for the concern. I have TMJ. Like, every morning I wake up and open up my jaw and I get a big, like, click. I've got, like, an issue with my jaw. I don't know if I do grind my teeth in my sleep. The dentist didn't see a lot of it, but I've got a little bit of... this is not the first time I've had an issue with my jaw. I have TMJ, and it clicks a little bit, and it just feels out of whack. I know where the pain is. Plus, thank you for your concern. I do have a cardiologist. I take care of myself. I have another follow up. I think this week or next week, but I've recently had stress tests and everything. So I'm good on a major blockage. I suppose anything's possible. But this is an issue I have with my jaw. But I have heard of that sometimes jaw pain can be an indicator of heart issues. It's rare, but it's possible. So I think I will see the cardiologist within the next 2 weeks, sometime in August. So, but this is my jaw. It's a jaw thing. It only hurts when I'm moving it. It hurts right where the clicking is with my TMJ. I just got a little bit of a jaw issue, but I'll be all right. It's not that painful. It's just annoying, really. Mike in Brooklyn, what's up, Mike?
Good morning, C-Mac. Thanks for taking my call, my man.
You got it. Thank you for making it. What's up?
Listen, it's been a little while. Before I get to my next point, I'm a little disappointed. I'm the guy who bought the glove and your Yeti, Yeti koozie thing.
My Yeti koozie, and you got the 44 glove, right?
Yep. I haven't, I haven't seen any C-Mac endorsements lately for anything.
Yeah, you know, well, listen, if I stopped doing them for free. And since no one wants to pay me, I haven't done any. But yeah, no, the koozie, the koozie wasn't so much of an endorsement as, well, listen, it is a great product, especially if you drink a lot of like High Noons or some of those thinner cans, like a lot of the like Michelob Ultra comes in those cans. And, you know, we're trying to make sure my joy isn't a real dangerous issue, like the last caller said. So I've cut down on the beer and more of those things when I do partake in non-dirty martini alcohol consumption. But those things are great. But I felt like I went to my, like, two things happened in my life in the last year where I walked into a place and felt like, oh, I am naked without this. And it was, I went to the pool with a bunch of, like, my neighborhood. I have a community I live in. I have a community I live in and a pool there.
Yeah.
And I have friends in the neighborhood and everything. But I went to the pool there, and almost everybody had this Yeti koozie, the metal Yeti koozie, for this type of thing. And I was like, geez, I got to get one. And then the other thing was my son's basketball. Wow, you have a very good memory. Yes, my son's basketball. And you listen, you're the man, Mike. You're the Mike in Brooklyn. Write it down. Number one caller, number one listener, Mike in Brooklyn. Love you, buddy.
Nice.
But yes, I went to my son's basketball game like right before Christmas, I guess. Was it November, maybe? Something like that.
No, it was around...
January?
February.
February.
Yeah, there was a special... I think I sent it to you. There was some water bottle that came out just for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right. The pink... thank you for the call.
Go
ahead.
Okay, Stearns basically told us what exactly he thinks about the team. He knows his team isn't a World Series team. So all these Mets fans that thought that he was going to go out and make crazy. I'm a huge Mets fan. But I knew, listen, we don't have an ace. We really don't have a number two, and that's a problem. But listen, always listen, my man, and have a great night.
All right, thank you, buddy. Yeah, so let me just pay off that story just real quick. Yeah, when I went to my son's basketball game, and everybody had one of the big Stanleys that have now been so popular. But like, it just felt like all of a sudden I woke up one day and suddenly, if you don't have like a 32 ounce Stanley drink holder, what do they call those things? Tumblers. You weren't cool. But I didn't go out and do that. But I did go out and buy the Yeti koozie, which is very, very good. I have a nice yellow one. I mean, listen, it's... The more I get away from what the Mets did, this trade market and this trade deadline was bizarre. And, you know, I was underwhelmed by it. I wanted more. But the more I get away from it and I realize, you know, Skubal wasn't traded. Crochet wasn't traded. Those are the guys I was willing to go out and pay big prospects for. I don't want to, like, if I'm the Mets, I get it. I want to win too. But I don't want to go out and trade away my big prospects that I've been cultivating here to try and win with in the future and build the franchise with, and do it for Tanner Scott, a relief pitcher, for a month or two. Like, I would have been willing to do it for bigger pieces. And I don't know, those guys didn't get moved, and I don't know if offering, you know, the Mets' top prospects would have gotten it done or not. But as underwhelming as it was, and I don't view the Mets as much better than they were, marginally better, and you still got guys coming back. Reed Foley's now making rehab assignments. I think Reed Garrett is around the corner. So the bullpen's going to get better, as well as the additions they've made. It's going to be a completely different bullpen. And we'll see if Daniel Nunez is eventually going to come back from his injury. But I don't view them as that much better, and I wanted to make them... I feel like the offense has shown you enough. Now, since the All-Star break, it's rather been inconsistent. But I just thought that this team was good enough to really go out there and make a bigger move, and especially in the rotation. But that guy didn't get moved. Like, they could have went out and got Flaherty. He would have helped. I still don't view him as an ace, but sure, that would have clearly helped. And they got a big pack. They got a big deal for him. Like, he doesn't do it for me. I don't know. So I was underwhelmed when it ended, the trade deadline. I wanted the Mets to do more to get better. I wanted the Yankees to do more. But as I start to move away from it and the excitement of it all and the really wanting to improve the team fades, and I really see all the different moves that were made, and I don't see one where it's like, geez, how could the Mets not do that? So you're right, though. I mean, if Stearns thought this was a World Series team, would he be out there doing more? I don't know. I honestly don't know. And we'll find out if they are a World Series team. Because I do think they're good enough to make the playoffs. And then once that happens, anything can happen. But they got a 10-game road trip coming up now. They're going out west to take on L.A. here to start. And it's going to be important. It's an important month. And it ends with a huge series against San Diego. And then a huge series against Arizona, who right now are two of the hotter teams in baseball. And have really made this National League wild card interesting. Let's see if we can get Maury and Belmore real quick. Maury, tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is your night, bro. Every time I think I'm out, they pull me back in the Yankees. It's unbelievable. And your jaw, you have to stop eating. It's olive juice. You have rotten olive juice in your gum because you drink too many damn martinis.
That's what it is. No, it's all that. It's sucking the pimento out of the olives. That's causing me all the problems.
I love it.
So I can fill it with blue cheese for my stuffed olives. That's what it is. That's what it is. You mentioned one thing about the jaw offhand. You end up getting more calls on that than the freaking Yankee rotation. It's a puzzling day and a puzzling life we live. All right, thank you to everyone. Thank you to Rami. Thank you to the callers, first and foremost. And thank you to those listeners, like Mike in Brooklyn, who knows exactly when I ran into a gymnasium and saw a bunch of Stanley tumblers. Dedicated fans like you are what makes this whole thing possible. Well, the warm-up show is next. Fliegelman will be working it. There he is right there. Everybody have a great day. Have a great Thursday. No Yankee baseball, no Met baseball. Find something to do. All right, the Hall of Fame game. Everybody take care. Warm-up show is next. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Met. W.